Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A little after 5 o'clock here on The Fan, but never too late.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right. I did not have time to craft the top five John Sterling home run calls of all time, but expect that at some point.
We're going to celebrate John all week. Yeah. Don't worry.
All right. I'm going to give you, because we ended Friday's show with predictions on what would happen, the five best wins of the weekend in New York.
All right. I got them all right.
Here we go.
Number five.
Let's start with the Metsies yesterday. A 2-1 win on dock day after the rain delay with the Yankees on TVs in the bathrooms.
Yes, that was big because there's a big swing between losing 2 out of 3 after winning the opener on Friday and finding a way to win the series. It wasn't pretty. Harrison Bader infield single. Brandon Nimmo bases loaded walk. And all of us Met fans, let's say it together. We love Big Budo.
Big Budo.
Mm. We cannot lie.
By the way,
I didn't know. Big Budo and I cannot lie. Do you know where I got that from, by the way?
What? Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Well, sort of. I got it from the scoreboard at Citi Field. Oh, they're the ones that started it.
Really?
Yeah.
Sean, how do you feel that you are a game away from being dead wrong on the Mets?
Am I dead wrong yet?
No.
Ask me when I'm dead wrong.
Yeah, Sean said they would never see 500 again. They are 7-8.
They'll never see two games over 500. All right, here we go.
Number four.
It's got to be the Yankees on Saturday night with Cody Petit coming in, twirling a gem. And Soto with a photo goes yard. Also, Oswaldo continued to rake. And more importantly, Saturday night, despite what happened yesterday, secured another series win for the Yanks.
And you don't sweep doubleheaders. I've learned that from a very wise baseball savant, that you don't sweep doubleheaders, and the Yankees are able to do that on Saturday.
Even though statistics tell you that's not true at all?
Well, Mike never told a lie, so
sorry. Oh, I thought you were referring to Al Dukes because he hammers that home.
Al Dukes says that?
That's very big on the warm-up show. Al says, I hate these doubleheaders because you never sweep.
Yeah, I think he's saying that probably to Mike.
He believes it.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Done. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Do you believe it or is he just taking Mike's bit?
I think he's taking Mike's bit.
Anything's on the table. I never said that. All right, Knicks over the Bulls yesterday, securing a 50-win season. And much like Loogie said earlier, F it, bring on the Heat or Sixers.
I would actually argue their win over my team on Friday was bigger.
I ignore it because they did battle back. We're kind of dead to water. The Bulls are at least a play-in team that was going all out yesterday.
Yeah, they were down in this game, too.
Yeah.
The Bulls game,
that is.
I mean, the Nets were up by 20 in that game.
But they also survived in overtime here.
You know what? Break the tie, Loogie. Better win. The Friday win against the Nets or the Sunday win against the Bulls. I respect your answer no matter what you say.
Anytime we could punish and embarrass the Nets, that's the bigger win.
There you go.
But they don't care about the Nets, gentlemen. All right, here we go.
Number two.
It's Rangers-Islanders with a twist. A win for both teams. Right. Because the Islanders did get a point out of it, even though they lost. Putting themselves in a spot where they beat the Devils tonight and they're in. The Rangers needed a massive 2 points there. They win tonight. They lock up the division, the Eastern Conference, and the President's Trophy. An excellent game Saturday afternoon.
A result that you, Sean Morash, absolutely predicted and called perfectly.
Yeah, what can
best case scenario, because we beat you, but we still stay in line to play you.
Well, I mean, right now, they may not play us unless they get tripped up tonight. But we'll get into those scenarios in a little bit. Go ahead.
All right, last but not least.
Number one.
The best win of the weekend in New York. WFAN hiring Ryan Hurley as the PD. What a home run. That was my ass kiss of the day.
Oh, come
Thank
on.
You. That's Cinco de Fivo. Best win of the weekend. Got a great boss in
you
here.
You used the Cinco de Fivo to kiss his ass?
Well, I didn't have his number properly earlier today. I don't know. What was I supposed to do?
I gave him a different Ryan. All right, thank you, Sean. We appreciate it. Yes, congratulations to him.
You missed all of my daughter's cheer as well.
That was number
Did they win two?
They won. They
Look
crushed
at that.
It.
That's
Bomb squad from CJA.
Congratulations.
The highest score in the whole competition.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for
it was
you.
Amazing.
And let me just say this publicly, okay, because it's very important. I say it again. Thank you to Tiki Barber. Because Tiki Barber on a Friday night.
Oh, I forgot.
What did you think I was going to say?
I have no idea.
You didn't know why I was going to say thank you?
I was like, what are you talking about?
I want to thank Tiki Barber for coming with me to the Court Square Theater on a Friday night to spend time with some of our listeners, sign some books.
Some Yankee fans even
came. Some Yankee fans. And we had a damn good time. And I really want to thank Petey's Burgers in Long Island City.
Dude.
Because unbeknownst to us, Petey's Burgers decided to deliver like hundreds of burgers. It was crazy. And they were great. Because on the way out, we were eating some damn burgers.
Right. By the way, so that night, I had a decision. Should I go home or should I go to Atlantic City for the aforementioned cheer competition that my daughters were performing in? And I was leaning towards going home and just like getting something to eat, chilling, taking care of the ferrets, getting up in the morning and go down.
Taking care of the ferrets.
Yes, two ferrets.
I got you.
Spaghetti and biscuit.
Does a dog ever try to eat the ferret?
No, she plays with them now.
Oh, really?
She was scared of them. Now she plays with them.
Huh.
But the fact that I had those Petey's burgers, it jazzed me. It like energized me. And I was I'm just going.
Those burgers.
I'm just going. And so I made it all the way to AC by like 11:30.
That's
amazing. I got
this
pretty quickly.
Burgers gave me energy too. I was able to watch the Nets-Knicks game on DVR, the Mets-Royals game on DVR, and then SmackDown. I had so much energy that finally I went to sleep at like 2 a.m. If you haven't seen it yet, and I don't want to be a bad guy, so Sean, maybe you should describe it to the audience. But Daniel Jones met the media today because the Giants and Jets both have voluntary workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things about voluntary workouts. Number one, even though it's voluntary, we as fans are going to judge who's there and who's not there.
Right. It's involuntary, mandatory.
Exactly. Like Aaron Rodgers showed up, and as a Jet fan, I got to admit it, I'm relieved he did. Because
mm-hmm.
that would have been a thing if he didn't. Honestly, that would have been, oh, here we go, year two, he doesn't care anymore. So it's good that guys show up, and most guys did show up. But the biggest takeaway was Daniel Jones. And it has nothing to do with what he said. Now, I'm sure there are things that he said that maybe Sean cares about and you care about. It was the press conference. If you guys haven't seen this, Daniel Jones's eyes were darting all over the place as if he was Adam Gase.
What?
Daniel Jones had an Adam Gase moment at the voluntary press conference today. I have seen it. There's no denying it. Now, what does this mean about Daniel Jones? Does it mean he can't quarterback? I didn't say any of that. But it gave off major Adam Gase vibes. Major Adam Gase vibes.
So what does that mean?
It means he looked like a freak today.
Yeah, but he's not lost. Look, Adam Gase, when his eyes were darting around looking for whatever the heck was flying over his head that wasn't actually there, it looked like he was just confused.
So what do you think it is with Daniel? Have you seen the video yet, Sean?
I have not seen the video.
Sean,
heard
can you
some of the audio, but I have not seen the video.
Can you describe it? And while that happens, we'll pull up the video for Tiki to watch. Go ahead.
All right. He is just looking around, and every so often his eyes get wide, almost like the reverse of a squint, and he's looking around.
Is he talking?
Yes, he is talking.
So he's talking while he's saying this, or is he waiting for someone to ask another question?
Both. This talk. I have a theory as you watch that. Two theories. Evan, the one thing I don't know that I would need to text some of my buddies about.
Go ahead.
Is this a Zoom? Because I'm dealing with this teaching a class where people are changing where they are on the Zoom boxes like the Brady Bunch.
That makes you feel better if it's a Zoom?
Yeah, because then your eyes are darting on where am I looking? Who just said that?
Gotcha.
The other thing is he cannot run right now fully on rehab as he recovers from an ACL. He has had some problems spotting coverages down the field. Maybe he has done eyelid workouts to keep his eyes as open as possible to acknowledge different coverages.
You know, Sean, until you just said that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I would not have thought about him not being in front of a live audience, like right. actual people. It does look like he's looking at a screen.
Like a screen where you're darting.
Yes, and if the setting is wrong, the thing flips all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah, like, somebody who you're talking to in the lower left could all of a sudden be in the
yes,
upper right.
Yes.
And yeah, that's crazy.
So we'll find out, but I'm going to bet that was a Zoom. One, because his eyes are open too big.
They're like, way too wide-eyed. Yes.
Too wide. He's
100%.
Like, I mean, he's
yes.
like he's staring at, I don't know, like, where are you at? I can't see you.
By the way, Tiki's imitation, if you're watching on SNY,
like
is wonderful.
He's just like this. He's like, what are you doing? All right. Oh, you're over there. Hey. I guarantee you it's a massive screen and it's on It's on Zoom.
Maybe he's darting his eyes around to find which quarterback is going to stab him in the back and take his job. Maybe that's what it's about. But it looks very Gacy-like. You have to admit that. Now, I'm not drawing any conclusions.
But it didn't sound Gacy-ian.
No, how did Gase sound at that press conference? Like, did anybody even remember what he actually said?
Yeah, it sounded like he was, like, struggling to find what he wanted to say.
Mm.
Like, usually when you're getting introduced, you're going to have, you're prepared. Like, you know exactly what you want to say, how you want to say it, the tenor of who, like, what you want this new fan base and media to view you as. He felt like he was just kind of winging it.
Yeah.
And so when you wing it, you get lost.
Is there anything interesting that Daniel Jones said, in your opinion, Sean, besides the eyes bugging out?
He did sound like a man of desperation trying to calm nerves about his neck injury when he called it just a stinger.
The neck injury that kept him out for multiple weeks?
Yeah, he said it was just a stinger related. Now, for a stinger, we've all seen like linebackers or running backs take that hit, and maybe they're out a week or come back.
Which is fine if you're a linebacker or a running back, but if you're a quarterback and you have a dead arm because the nerve, stinger's nerve damage, is not functioning right, you just can't throw.
Yeah. And I think he said that to make us feel better neck injury.
Did he also have like things in his fingers? Like, I kind of remember that from last year. Maybe I'm not.
I have to go back. But remember, his first game back when he tore the ACL, the first pass he threw sailed over Saquon's head. He just didn't look right throwing the football.
No, you're right.
Interesting.
So maybe it was a stinger. He just had, like, dead hand.
I don't think it really matters, though. I mean, here's the truth.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
it
Daniel doesn't. Is under suspicion, not only from the organization, but the fan base, that he can stay healthy. Whatever the injury was last year, it doesn't even matter at this
ultimately,
point.
You're right. It doesn't matter. Because the stinger is just as bad.
Yeah. It's an injury. He missed time. That's what it comes down to. If you missed any part of the show, I'll give you some highlights if you want to rewind on the Odyssey app. Earlier at 4 o'clock, we unveiled, and we'll be doing this just about every day until the NFL draft, our top 20 New York draft picks of all time. It's not a list I created. It's not a list Tiki created. It's a list you helped create when you voted at WFAN.com/draft, plus a panel of dignitaries. So we unveiled 20, 19, 18, and 17 at 4 o'clock. And back at the top of the show, I think the Knicks got screwed. They're the 2 seed. Congratulations. They've been given a horrific potential first-round matchup with Philadelphia, and I had a solution on how to fix that into the future. But coming out of that draft pick list, a lot of people very upset, A, that Tiki Barber was ahead of Phil Sims, and then B, that David Wright was ahead of Don Mattingly. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Billy in Hempstead. What's up, Billy?
Evan, Tiki, it's a pleasure.
What's up, man?
First time I say, I'm usually used to talking to Joe Beningle. You know what I mean, bro? But
bro, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Bro, you know what? With that being said, I'm a 48-year-old Yankee. Yes, I'm a Jet fan. Evan, were you or somebody else a little tipsy making this list earlier? I know the great John Sterling just spoke, but and all the pleasure with that. But Don Mattingly was an MVP and batting title winner.
Okay.
So I don't know how that even came out with David Wright. I mean, I understand
because
that he was
David Wright,
old,
but David Wright has better career numbers over the course of his career. That's why. Like, you're right about the batting title and MVP.
Billy,
but
by
don't
the way,
ignore the other
Evan did not make
Evan,
this list. It's not Evan's Evan, list.
I didn't make the list, yes.
Evan, I understand. Donnie had nobody from the late 80s into the 90s around him at all. David Wright did. And Mr. Barber, all due respect, one name, sir, Otis Anderson, baby.
Mm, Otis.
And
Otis was not drafted to the New York Giants. He was a
I understand.
St.
I was
Louis
just saying that
Cardinal.
Because he's a running back and he's a great Giant, even all the Jets fans.
Yeah, you're right.
But how about that? How about
well,
that?
Well, first of all, I don't agree with you. I mean, Dave Winfield was on that team. Ricky Henderson was on that team. And I think that was the year he won the MVP. So if you had dismissed Don Mattingly's teammates in a cheap bid to put him over, it's not fair. Just because I'm 2 years old doesn't mean I know the reality or I don't know the reality. And that's the reality.
Right.
So attacking your own team to try to put Don Mattingly on a pedestal is wrong and it's unfair.
By the way, I have now confirmation from Jordan Runnon that Daniel Jones was on a Zoom.
That makes you feel better?
Yes.
That's exactly what it was.
Okay, so we all feel better about this.
Yes.
We are not concerned that he had Adam Gase eyes.
Nope.
Okay.
I can tell you. I teach classes on Zoom where my eyes
that's
are
fine. I just want to, look, I want the information out there. We all can make our own decision. That's critical.
Stop hating on my quarterback.
I'm not hating.
Who he'll be lining up the sign next year with the Jets, by the way.
Exactly. By the way, I don't think Daniel Jones made this list. Top 20 draft picks in the history of New York sports. Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, man?
So, Evan, I just wanted to defend David Wright in this argument a little.
Go ahead.
So, I know you're a big stat guy, right?
Sure.
So, if you look up Mattingly's 85, and like you said, you have to drive in your teammates. They have to get on base. And David Wright's 07 across the board, if David Wright's teammates, like Marash, wanted to play the game with the what-ifs, with the World Series home runs, excuse me, David Wright got robbed of that MVP in 07, and they would have the same amount of MVPs for their careers.
Well, I think, and your point is a good one, let's take Don Mattingly's best year and David Wright's best year, and you put them side by side. And the truth is, let's go with Donnie's MVP year. He hit 324, 35, 145, 939 OPS. We take David Wright's best year. You said 07, 325. So we've got basically the same batting average. 30 home runs, 107 RBIs, 963 OPS.
Finished fourth in the MVP battle.
Finished fourth in the MVP. Donnie won the MVP. David has better OPS. Like, their batting average is basically the same. Now, I'll tell you where there's a big discrepancy, because I want to be fair. Don Mattingly never struck out. David Wright struck out a lot. David Wright also stole a lot of bases. Don Mattingly did not. But I guess what bothers me is it's talked about as if they're not on the same planet. I just gave you the numbers. They're on the same planet. You can't tell me they're not on the same planet. If you want to say I give Donnie the edge, of course you could say that. The RBIs, the lack of strikeouts. But there is a condition that New Yorkers have of a certain age and a certain persuasion when it comes to the team they root for, to dismiss. They dismiss. You can't dismiss it. It's very close. And the panel got that right. I think the panel got it right that they put them this close, Tiki.
Yeah.
Because they should be this close. They have eerily similar careers. Their numbers, I just laid it out, very similar. And that's Mattingly's best season. And that's David's best season. So I'm not arguing David's a million times better. I'm arguing stop being dismissive because of your bias. Because there's a bias towards the guy you rooted for, the team you root for, and your age. That's what it comes down to. It's the way I look at it. Tiki's getting convinced.
Jimmy Rollins.
Why bring up his name right now?
How dare you?
I'm just telling you.
Why are you bringing up Jimmy Rollins?
Three above him. He said he got robbed.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just like.
Got me very sensitive about this.
I'm investigating his claim that he was robbed of the MVP.
David Wright had the second best WAR in baseball, significantly higher than the three guys who finished ahead of him in MVP voting.
Yes, Jimmy Rollins, Matt Holliday, and Prince Fielder.
Yes. You know what the problem is? If we all want to be honest with each other, I love David Wright. He cannot have won the 2007 MVP.
No.
You want to know why he couldn't have won the 2007 National League MVP?
Tell us.
Because they choked historically down the stretch of the season.
True.
And like, there's nothing the Mets... If David Wright... David, I love you, bro. They couldn't have won anything after that choke job.
And Prince Fielder had 50 home runs, which led the league. Matt Holliday had 137 RBIs, which led the league. Ryan Howard had 136 as well. And then Jimmy Rollins was just all bowled across.
Crazy. This freaking list. The top 20 draft picks. New York sports history the last 50 years. Look at this text message I got from my friend. I call him AJ's a whiny bitch. That's what I call him. His name is AJ.
Is he actually? Obviously.
Yeah, all he's just quoting doubles and triples and OPSs and Evan, you're an idiot, and Don Mattingly this and Don Mattingly that. And I love this. Convo's over. If the convo's over, stop texting me! If you're so confident that Mattingly shouldn't have been ahead of David Wright, that the conversation is over, then stop texting me! Okay, you think you won, so it's over. Not my fault you didn't win. I didn't make this list. It's a panel of dignitaries. I don't even know who's on the panel. I'm going to try to get a name, or at least I'm going to try to get like contact information so that when people complain about these results, I can get like an official quote from the panel. Well, that's what I'm going for.
When in doubt, blame it on Spike.
No, I think the panel is probably the same people who hid the A-Rod banner for 2 weeks. That's who I think's on the panel.
Listen,
if the early list is any indication.
Good call.
I have no idea.
It's a good call, Sean.
That's not true because I hid the A-Rod banner, and I had nothing to do with this list.
Again, my point still stands.
We got a big night in sports tonight. The New York Mets are opening up a three-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The New York Yankees are going to Toronto to take on the Toronto Blue Jays after winning 2 of 3 against Cleveland. It's very difficult to say there's any concerns about the Yankees because the Yankees are winning just about every game. But there are two things that I think jump out at you from over the weekend where you say to yourself, hey, I'm not upset that they won 2 out of 3. The Yankees are 12-4. They're playing great baseball. But two things that you could see becoming a bigger thing. Number one, the struggles of the bullpen. And number two, and this one I can't explain, their infield defense has been crappy. And I can't understand the Anthony Rizzo thing. Like, Anthony Rizzo has been such a good, solid defensive first baseman. He hasn't played that way.
Yeah.
Gleyber is, I think Glaber's in his head right now. My theory on Gleyber is he's kind of stressing out. It's a contract year. He's not hitting. And I think he's probably pressing.
Well, think about this. We talked about moving Volpe to the leadoff spot and the benefit that that would provide for the team. Because, look, he's constantly on base. He's always getting hits or he's walking. And so you were right about that. And the move felt like it was the right move because that's where he's going to be for the next decade.
Right.
But what we didn't talk about as much is the impact that that would have on Gleyber Torres.
And that was the meaning for Aaron Boone making the move, thinking it would wake Gleyber up offensively. It has not.
100%. But the other side of this, like the other part of the conversation that we mentioned maybe at the beginning of the season, but we really haven't talked about a lot. Like we see guys in contract years all the time. Aaron Judge is the most recent. Actually, no, forget that. Pete Alonso with the Mets is the current example. Juan Soto's a different situation because it really doesn't matter what season he has. He's still going to get paid a ton of money. But Gleyber Torres is in a prove-it contract year for the Yankees. And like we discount how much pressure that is.
Yeah, people assume that contract year means success. Contract year means you're going to perform. Yes. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Before Cody Bellinger had a big contract year, he had a bad contract year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Conforto, contract year. Like, it doesn't guarantee you success. And you wonder with Gleyber Torres if that is causing him to press a little bit. Now, tonight, the Yankees are taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Where is he in the batting order? We have the answer to that because the Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. They are facing the former Met Chris Bassett. Anthony Volpe, and by the way, how right have the Yankees been about moving Anthony Volpe to the leadoff spot? Right have I been?
Pretty good.
I don't really take much credit other than that being my opinion for the last couple of weeks, but 9 out of 15 plate appearances over the weekend, he got on base. 9 out of 15.
Wow.
Is that good?
I think it's great. I think the next question becomes, when does Oswaldo Cabrera become Juan Soto's protection in the lineup?
At least he's in the lineup tonight.
Well, there's no choice because John Birdie went on the IL over the weekend. So now with Kevin Smith coming up, Oswaldo Cabrera is going to play against everybody. But here's the complete lineup. Volpe leading off. Juan Soto's batting second. Judge is getting a DH day and batting third. Anthony Rizzo cleaning up, Gleyber Torres batting fifth, Alex Verdugo in left, Oswaldo Cabrera at third, Austin Wells behind the plate, and Trent Grisham is in center field. So with Judge getting a DH day, no Giancarlo Stanton against Chris Bassett. Instead, you get Trent Grisham. And Trent Grisham is off to just a horrific start. But hopefully he'll get going. Yankees, Jays tonight, Luis Hill is on the mound. So the first problem I brought up was their bullpen. Their answer is starting tonight. Their answer to their bullpen issues, not yet, give it time, is Luis Hill.
You see him moving?
I do.
Off the rotation, especially when Gerrit Cole comes back.
I do. A couple of reasons. You brought up Gerrit Cole coming back, which you still hope and assume he'll be able to do. But here's the biggest thing around Luis Hill, and I touched on this a few weeks ago to you, that Luis Hill has not thrown a lot of innings in his major league career and minor league career. Like, he's never had a year where he's thrown more than, I think it's like 90, 95 innings. Very small number. So here he is, based on necessity and the way he's performed, in the Yankee rotation right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And that's why we've seen Aaron Boone be very careful with him, taking him out early in games sometimes, a batter short of earning a win. He's not going to start every 6 days the entire season. I see the end game, and obviously it depends on how guys play and what they need, that Luis Hill may be the big quote-unquote trade acquisition for the bullpen come the second half of the season.
I mean, it makes sense, especially if you're not going to try to Nestor Cortez him. What I mean by that, we all remember Nestor Cortez had only had, 93 or so innings before he had his All-Star season. And he pitched fantastic, but it maybe took a toll on him the next year was not so great. This year he's off to an okay start. I mean, his first inning, second inning, sometimes they leave a little bit to be desired. But it's a challenge to go from not pitching a lot to, all right, we need six innings 30 times or however many times it's going to be for him before Cole gets back, 18 times. Like, that's a lot.
That's
for
why
a young kid.
I think the answer to him, the answer to the question, it's only April 15th, but the answer on August 15th is Luis Hill is going to come out of the bullpen. As far as the Mets are concerned, look, they're playing good baseball. They've won three consecutive series. They win a good series against Kansas City. And what's funny about the Mets, I said this on the Rico last night, Rico Bronya, it's a podcast I host about the Mets. The Mets had a schedule. Even Sean said this, and I'm not saying this to pick on you. I'm saying to show you how things change. When the Mets got off to a 1-5 start, Sean Morash said on WFAN, You know what makes this worse, guys? They did it against bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be a soft part of their schedule. Well, all of a sudden, when you look at who the Mets have played to start the season, and you look at their records, the Milwaukee Brewers are off to a pretty damn good start. They're 11-4 or 10-4. Not bad. Then you look at the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers are 9-6. Not bad. The Cincinnati Reds, who they won 2 of 3 from. The Reds are also 9-6. Not bad. 2 out of 3 against the Braves. 9-5. Not bad. The Kansas City Royals, who they just beat. 10-6. Not bad. And now the Pittsburgh Pirates, 11-5. So the Mets' schedule has actually been pretty damn good considering all these teams are off to good starts.
See, this is the problem with like preseason expectations about any team, because you just assume, when they play those guys, they're in trouble because they're going to be good. And they're not that good. They just look at the Yankees. Oh, they got the Houston Astros to open the season. It's a 4-game set in Houston. Man, Yankees might be in trouble. Meanwhile, the Houston Astros are 6-11.
It's all about when you play teams.
True.
All those teams we just mentioned may turn out to be bad, but they're not bad now.
Exactly. But you don't know how seasons are going to start.
No doubt. Now, let's get to your calls, especially for those that have waited a long time. We always appreciate it. We had a few complaints about that at our book signing. And you know what's so funny about their complaints?
Oh, all of them.
They all blame Loogie for it.
There was no complaint at me, no complaint at Evan, not even a complaint at Sean. The complaints were consistent. Loogie won't let me on. I called, but Loogie said, call back. It's all Loogie. Loogie, 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 Loogie.
Look, I'm the gatekeeper, so I understand that, but like...
You don't have to defend yourself. We think you're doing a great job.
Great job.
That's not really all that matters?
You're not old for life. You're just old for this club. I can't let every single person
No, off. You're doing a great job. And the new guy, what's the new guy? Ryan Hurley? He loves you too. He told me.
Mm.
He said, he said, I like Loogie.
The Lugauer, though.
He said, I don't love him on air, but I love the way he... I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's depressing.
I'm kidding. Let's get to your calls. Mike's calling from Elmont. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, what's up? It's just, Loogie's great with me. I love Loogie. That's I don't even know him, but I love Loogie, so I don't know who...
There you go.
I agree.
Everybody who calls from now on, right?
Loogie's a good guy. But I just got your book, Evan. I literally just got it like 10 minutes ago. I'm looking through it. Love to see Todd Hundley in there. I'm a big Todd Hundley guy. I love that. So
thank you very much. That's in My Mets Bible on sale now at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or wherever you buy books. Thank you for buying it.
Go out to the Astoria bookstore. You might get a signed copy.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah,
if you go in, I'm sorry. He's right. If you go to the Astoria bookstore, we signed a bunch of copies. So if you want a signed copy, go into that bookstore.
Oh,
there's like 20 of them.
Yeah, at least.
So
all right.
You're in business.
Sounds good. But I wanted to call about John Sterling.
I'm
a huge Mets fan. Obviously, I bought your book. But it's sad. It's sad to see him go, man. The Yankees win call is like, it's iconic, you know? And I'm so lucky to be alive for that. And as a Mets fan, it makes me kind of worry, like, with our guys, Howie and Ron, and like, they're great. Like, we're spoiled in New York with that. So, like, you know, I'm just like, I don't want to see that. I don't know who's going to take over for the Mets, but it's sad to see John go.
Here's what I will tell you about that. We all love John. I will miss him. And selfishly, I was saying this to Tiki off air, I find myself, and this is not a knock on the TV guys, I find myself listening to the radio a lot, even while I'm watching the game.
I end up listening to it a lot because the timing of the games. Like, my dog has to eat and go out and go to the bathroom. So I end up walking the dog, just putting it in my headphones.
Right. Yeah.
And then I get back home and I just kind of listen.
Yeah.
I just like leave it in.
I do it because it's just more entertaining that way, and it may give us material for the show the following
day. That's true. Harder to pull the radio or the TV calls.
But there was a time where John Sterling was new to the Yankee booth. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where Phil Rizzuto was legendary. And there was a time where Mel Allen was legendary. And for us as Met fans, there was a time where Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy were legendary. And you looked at anyone replacing him and said, they're not Ralph Kiner. They're not Bob Murphy. They're not Mel Allen. They're not Phil Rizzuto. They're not Red Barber. And then other guys come in, and you start to not be able to imagine your team without them. Gary Cohen is a great example. There are many older Met fans who remember pre-Gary Cohen days, and now they can't imagine the Mets without him.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are Yankee fans who feel that way about Michael Kay. I'm sure that there are a lot of Met fans, myself included, who feel that way about Howie. But here's the beautiful thing. Keith Ratt is a great example of this. I don't want to make Keith feel too old, but 40 years from now, there may be a guy calling up this radio station saying the same thing about Keith.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Mets without Keith Ratt. I can't imagine the Yankees without Emmanuel Barbari. So it's sad because John is great. It's sad because someday we won't have Howie Rose broadcasting Met games. But the future goes on, and there will be somebody else to pick up the mantle.
Yeah, no, it always happens. And it becomes generational. But I think with radio, especially guys on they call games on radio, it's like multi-generational.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It's
no
not
question.
Just, you know, a 10 or 12, 15-year period. Sometimes, it, I mean, 36 years for John.
Amazing, man.
It's unreal. Like, doing the same job. It's that well for 36 years.
And he had an incredible streak of not missing games until a couple of years ago when he missed a game for, I think it was his daughter's graduation, which was a fine excuse.
Of course.
Let's go to Ophir in Kings Park. What's up, Ophir?
So, I'm one of those guys that was on hold for a while, and
Loogie apologizes, actually, by the way. He says he's sorry.
Yeah, it's all his fault. Mm. But I haven't, Tiki, you just made a great point, right? Like, I haven't been doing nothing. I have a 7-month-old daughter, and she fell asleep in her stroller outside, and I'm doing yard work while listening to you guys.
Nice.
Which
exactly.
is awesome.
There you go. That's why the radio is such an awesome medium.
Here's, yeah, and here's the problem, right? So, like, while I'm waiting, it's the equivalent of, it's the best part of your show, is like, it reminds me of, like, when my friends and I get together, and we just talk about, you know, sports, and everybody brings up different points, right? But the equivalent of waiting is like, what the hell am I supposed to talk about now? Because it was the equivalent of me just sitting there without being able to make my point while my friends are arguing, right? So the whole play-in thing and all that stuff, but I'm a Mets fan. We're also big Knicks fans. And I think for me, the big thing is the Knicks are watchable for the first time in like a billion years.
Yeah.
So do I care who we play in the first round? Nope, I don't care. I think we can beat anybody. But I think Tom Thibodeau would tell you this too, is that, you know, like, it doesn't matter who we play. He's going to plan for who we play,
right,
and he's going to plan to beat those teams. And actually, if we beat the Heat or the Sixers, it's going to get easier for us in round two.
Right, that was my point. Ophir, what's your daughter's name? What's your daughter's name, Ophir?
Tessa.
Tessa? Is that her we hear in the background?
Yeah, Tessa's up now.
Tessa was napping an hour ago.
She's up now.
She was napping, yep. And she just had her little snack before we get ready for bed in about an hour and a half. But,
I love that. I love that. Being a dad is awesome, dude.
Yes, it
and
is.
And she'll be going to her first Met game soon, too. You know,
nice.
So that's going to be awesome.
Very good.
And she would tell you definitely that, although, you know, like, people really love Don Mattingly, we really love David Wright.
That's
right. For us, the argument would be that playing first base is a heck of a lot easier than playing third base.
Mm.
And on the left side of that Mets infield, David Wright is iconic for us, right?
I think, Ophir, what's interesting in hearing your perspective on it and hearing the passionate Mattingly fans, and thank you for calling and waiting, is that they're very similar. And that's the point that offends some Yankee fans. Mm. I'm not even saying right now he's better. I'm saying they're similar. They both had great careers that were cut short for unfair reasons, like a back issue.
Yeah.
They both, like, kind of identify a generation of fans. Like, they are very, very similar guys and players, and they mean similar things to Yankee and Mets.
Yeah, and let's not forget that this ranking, this draft ranking, is all about fandom. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, there's no metric, there's no empirical, you know, dive that's going into this. This is you all voting on this and some secretive panel. This has the other 50% of this. This is what it's for.
That's it. And the other thing he said about the Knicks, and I want to say this in a very delicate way, because I mean this as a compliment. Ophir said, I'm just so happy they're watchable.
Mm.
We have graduated away from that. This is no longer the Knicks are fun, the Knicks are good, I'm just so happy this isn't 2018 anymore. No, you want to be a contender. And when you're a contender, the discussions are different than, hey, we're good. Hey, we're back. Hey, we're better. No, you have a legitimate shot to get to the NBA Finals. This is, in my lifetime, the closest I have felt as a Knick hater in fear that you guys can go to an NBA Finals. I'm scared of the New York Knicks going to an NBA Finals. I admit that. It would not stun me if the New York Knicks went to an NBA Finals. Do I think you will? Probably not, but you can.
Yeah, and the other side of this is, unlike, you know, back in 2000, what was that, 11, 12 with Amari? Was that 11? Whatever year that was, it's not aged people who are going to be gone.
Yeah, it was 11 and 12, and then 13 was the big year with Melo where they won the 50-plus games and got knocked out by Indy.
That felt like it had an ending point.
Yeah.
This feels like it could go for who knows how long.